Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, continuing our study in this letter to the church in Ephesus. I like to hear the Bibles turning. This is good to have your Bibles there. Of course, that's probably going to be outdated soon, unless they come up with electronic page noises. But it is good to all be looking at the Word of God. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to pick it up at verse 7. We're going to read the text, verses 7 through 14. And as you do, I want you to be observers. Be reading and asking yourselves questions. What is God saying here? Just by way of a little bit of context, in the beginning of chapter 5, he talks about the importance of being imitators of God, imitators in how you are gracious to others as God has been gracious to you. Imitate God. Imitate God in how you love others. Just as Christ has loved you, you are to love others. Imitate God. And just as God is completely holy, God has called you and I to be holy. So therefore we are to imitate God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. Be not you therefore partakers with them. The them's referring back to the children of disobedience in verse 6. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, what I believe Paul is seeking to do here is to give the readers an understanding of their mission in life, their mission as believers in the city of Ephesus. Now, let's remind ourselves, these are most likely first-generation believers. The church is very young at this point. And so these people, they have heard the gospel and trusted Christ, and they are learning new things. This is a brand new concept for them. And the Apostle Paul is one who God is using to teach God's message, God's truth, God's way of living to them. And what I believe he's doing here in this passage is he is giving to the Ephesians their mission as believers. In other words, there is more to their life than just being a believer and existing. In other words, there should be an active role in their world. And I trust that you didn't miss this as we read through that passage, but it talks about light and darkness, doesn't it? Light and darkness. Now, we know this concept is not a new concept in the New Testament. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Sermon on the Mount, used these words in Matthew 5, verse 16. Listen to what he says. In verse 15, Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In John, Jesus Christ, he says, I am the light of the world. In fact, go to John chapter 1 briefly. I want to just I want to just show you Jesus Christ here in these words in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is speaking of Jesus Christ, the Word. Verse 5, John 1, 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Go down to verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. All right, so this concept of light and darkness is a concept that was introduced by Jesus Christ. In other places in the book of John, you see him declaring, I am the light of the world. So Paul here, he is using that illustration to give the church their mission. Specifically, how they are, or we are, to be living in darkness. I think you would agree with me that if we were to look at our world and try to categorize our world in one of two categories, it's a world full of light or it's a world full of darkness, we would inevitably say it's a world full of darkness with small glimmers of light. Now, the light, I want to submit to you today, the light is that those that are believers in Jesus Christ, they are emitting, they are reflecting the glory and the light of Jesus Christ in this world. At the very outset of our time together this morning in the Word of God, you have a mission, believer. The exhortation is you need to be a light, and we see it in this passage. You are to walk as children of light. There's a lot of things that go into that. What does that mean? In verse 8, the Apostle Paul reminds these believers again of who they once were. He did this in chapter 2. Remember what he did in chapter 2? In verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In chapter 5, in verse 8, he again reminds them, you were sometimes darkness. No, notice that it doesn't say that you were sometimes in darkness. It says you were sometimes darkness. You were darkness. The verb there has the idea that you were in the past continually darkness. But this is the past. That's what you were. But now, light. But now, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So, at the very outset here of our time together, we need to recognize our mission is to walk as children of light. Now, the importance of that, the ramifications of that, Paul spells out. First of all, what we see as a result, or what we see the importance behind this mission is that it brings to us an assurance of our identity. An assurance of our identity as a follower, a believer of Jesus Christ. Why? Because if you are walking as children of light, if you are walking as an offspring of light, in other words, you are one that's born out of light, Jesus Christ being the light, then therefore there is fruit that comes as a result of that. In verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit, or some translations will say light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now today, I want you to walk away with this truth. I want you to know who you are. God wants you to know who you are. And so he gives us truth like this, the fruit, to help us be assured of our identity, of who we are, believers in Jesus Christ. the fruit of the light or fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness could be defined as kindness, that which is free from evil. Goodness kind of stands in opposition to evil. So in other words, the fruit of the light is goodness, standing in contrast to evil. It is that quality that generates blessing and joy and peace in others before God. Righteousness is that state of being approved by God. Life that is lived without shame before God. Now listen, as we go through this, I want you to take inventory of your life. Because as we go through this, this will bring to light who we really are. Because I want to remind you, anybody can say anything. And if I'm over here and I say I am a believer in Jesus Christ, I am in the light. I am walking in the light. I can say that. But if I am over here and if I am doing evil, if I am doing shameful things that are not approved of God, then what is really true about me? I can say a good thing, but my life really tells this true story. And so the fruit gives us an assurance of our identity as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a believer in Jesus. Goodness, righteousness, and the final one there is truth. Truth, that which is considered genuine and accurate according to God's standards. And let me remind you, they're the highest standards available. Truth. So, by way of application, we are told to walk as children of light. That's our mission. That's who we are to be. And the fruit of that is goodness. It's righteousness, and it's truth. All right, so we could ask ourselves this question. As we look at our life, do we see goodness or do we see evil? And I know how we think. We'll say, oh, we're not that bad. Okay, all right, so maybe you pass the goodness one, but you come to righteousness. Do you stand approved before God? If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you know that Jesus Christ has died to pay the penalty for your sin. And so therefore, Romans tells us, you're justified before God. You are declared righteous by God through Jesus Christ's shed blood. And therefore, as you live, you want to please God, but when you don't, you're convicted, you confess your sin, and you realize you embrace the forgiveness that's found in Christ, and you walk on as righteous. But I want to tell you something. Is your life characterized by righteousness? Actions, speech that is approved of God. Now, it's kind of hard to wiggle out of that one, isn't it? Truth. Is my life characterized by a genuineness, an accuracy, according to God's standards? Does my life exhibit what I say and what God's word teaches? Let's not forget that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All right, so how do you measure up to God's highest standard as exemplified by his son, Jesus Christ? That's a high, high calling. But I want to tell you something. The fruit of the light or spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So what we're seeing here is there's an assurance of our identity by the fruit of our life. Church, we have got to grab a hold of this and realize that Christianity is not just about having a good talk. It's about walking a righteous walk. And as we walk, we then can talk. There's an assurance of our identity. Now, this mission that we are to walk as children of light has a purpose. Look at this, verse 10. In fact, let me start at verse 8. Verse 9 is kind of a parenthesis. So I'm going to read verse 8, and then I'm going to go right to verse 10, just so we can get to follow it here. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now here is this purpose. You have this mission. You are to be walking as children of the light. Why? For what purpose? Proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. When I was in college for a summer, I had an opportunity to be a camp counselor at a camp for teenagers. That was probably one of the most daunting tasks I've ever done since being a father. I was not much older, sometimes the same age as some of these kids coming into my cabin. But yet I was supposed to lead them and teach them, guide them, keep them in line, keep them from turning over the cafeteria tables in the middle of the night and spraying whipped cream over everything. They did that while I slept. But nevertheless, there was one evening that has stuck in my mind and I believe illustrates the power of light. Okay, because in this passage, you see light and darkness. And light is that which is exposing the darkness. It is bringing to light the true identity of evil. It was late one night, and the typical thing was I had a unit leader, a guy that was above me, who would check in with me every night. And so I was out talking with him, and the guys were in the cabin. It was dark, lights out, and they were supposed to be sleeping or getting ready to. After I finished speaking with my unit leader, I went into the cabin, and in the light of my flashlight, I caught an image on the floor. Now, on the floor, there lay a magazine. Now, it was dark, but my flashlight caught this, and as I caught it, I caught enough to know that I should not look again. Immediately, just even as in my spirit now, my blood pressure rose and I became very, very angry in my spirit. Because I had young men in my cabin who I now knew had an issue with pornography. I went outside because I didn't know what to do. I was just 18, 19 years old. I didn't know what to do. How do I handle this? Obviously, they were testing, because when I came in, they were laughing, giggling, what's he going to do kind of stuff. What's he going to do? All right, so I'm outside. I'm trying to figure this out. Now, let me just stop, and I want to. There's options here, right? I could go in, whoever's magazine that is, just pick it up and put it away. I could do that, right? I could have walked in and taken it. I could have done that. So I'm outside and I'm trying to figure this out. And so I don't know if I did the right thing or not, but I go in, I bring a garbage can in, I'm talking like a big garbage can, and I bring it in, and I talk to the it's dark. I go in, I pick up this magazine, and in the dark, I begin to rip it. And as I'm ripping it, I begin to explain to the men the dangers of pornography. And it was silent. There was no more giggling. There's no more laughing. I began to rip it and to tear it and to very graphically throw it into the garbage can with power and emphasis to show its true identity. I want you to notice something from that story. It was the light. It was the light that exposed the evil. You see, evil exists in darkness, and while it remains in darkness, it remains in its safe environment. It is content, it's pleasurable, it's fun, and it's okay, quote unquote. But when we, as children of the light, enter into a dark world and the light of Jesus Christ shines on the evil, it is exposed for what it really is: evil, wickedness, things that are not of God. And therefore, our mission is to walk as children of the light. We are assured of our identity by the fruit of the light, and our purpose is to expose and prove what is well-pleasing to the Lord and what is not. And that is done by the light. Yes, that magazine was evil in the darkness. Yes, it was. But you know what? It was in its environment, in darkness. But it wasn't exposed for what's true evil until I shone that light onto it and exposed, and it, I knew because of my relationship with God that was evil. Light exposes evil. And church, that's our role in this dark world. We are to walk as children of light. Now, Paul continues to unravel this for us. Prove, verse 10, what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Notice there needs to be a separation. And I want you to notice also that it does not say do not have fellowship with those people that are doing these things. It says no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And I believe that is a very important distinction, because God does not want us to isolate ourselves from this dark world. God wants us to be separate from the works of this dark world. Why? Because there are people that are doing those works that God wants to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wants to do it through you and for me. Let's face it, we once were doing works in darkness, and God reached out and saved us. And so therefore, what we're seeing here, it is, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Let me just comment on that idea of unfruitful. In verse 9, it says the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 11, the unfruitful works. Unfruitful is means that it has no fruit. It's barren. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that the darkness is truly of no value and worthless to those of us as believers. The unfruitful works, deeds of darkness. But he says rather reprove them. That idea of reproving, confront, rebuke. As I was studying this, I was just encouraged that, you know, it is a good thing we have some Christians in politics. And perhaps we need to encourage them a little bit more. Because that is an incredible ground there for this idea of rebuking what is evil. Politics isn't the only place. In fact, it needs to start in our families, in our homes, in our schools. But let's remember to encourage those men and women that are standing up for Christ in the political arena, in the public eye. And you know what? We need to be doing the same in our own little arenas. We need to be standing up for what is right and standing against what is wrong. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Notice there's an active involvement here. Active involvement. You are to be reproving it, confronting it, exposing it for what it is. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. This idea of shame, that is so true. You know, don't be surprised when someone gets upset with you and they call you a judge and they call you a bigot. Because oftentimes you haven't said a word, it's your life that has exposed the evil. And they feel shamed. Because I want to tell you something, compared to the light of Jesus Christ, the works and deeds of this world are shameful. And people know that. People know that. In verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That is, all those things that are rebuked, confronted, are made visible by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Dear ones, listen. Paul is just emphasizing the power and the purpose of light. I hope you realize that in a battle between light and darkness, light always wins. Do you know that darkness, the definition of darkness is absence of light? You know that? I find it interesting, just this creation story, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. It was dark, and God spoke what? Light. God spoke light into the... And you know what? I find it interesting that God didn't do totally away with the darkness, did he? He didn't. But what did he do? He sprinkled his stars and moon in there, just to remind us he's present there too. He's present. And you know what? That's this dark world, and we shine as stars and lights in this world. God hasn't lost control. God wants to use you and me. And so we come to verse 14. Scholars are unsure of where he is quoting from. Perhaps it's a Christian hymn, but nevertheless, the message is clear. Awake! Awake! Thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So you're on a mission. Walk as children of the light. Why? Because you are to prove what is well-pleasing unto the Lord and what is not. What's your message, church? What's your message? Awake, dark world, awake. You are sleeping, you are dead. But God wants to raise you up. He wants to raise you up and give you life. Christ shall give you light. This world is blinded. They are in darkness. But you know what? It's not hopeless for them because of you and I, the church of Jesus Christ. The church, we have a mission. Walk as children of light. Allow that to bring assurance to you of your identity by the fruit that you bear in your life, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Remember, the purpose of your mission is to be proving that which is well-pleasing unto the Lord and that which is not. And those things that which are not need to be confronted by us and called out for what they are. And our message? Awake. Awake, sleeping world. You are blinded. You are lost in darkness. arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You see, it's only by the grace of God that such a message has power. Because you and I, we could walk into a place and say, awake, you are in darkness, you are dead. And it could mean nothing. But I want you to know God goes before and he prepares the hearts of people. And you and I come along at just the right times. And trust, maybe this happened in your life. But people come along and they share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it comes as a warning. It's an awakening. Listen, you are in darkness. You need to be brought to life. And Jesus Christ is the one who does that. So church, we've got a mission. Walk as children of light. God, thank you so much for this time. And I am blessed and I'm encouraged and I'm challenged by the message that you have given to us today. God, as I just want to honestly say, as I end so often these messages, I'm ending in amazement as you have communicated. And I'm humbled, Lord. And God, the mission is so clear, and there are so many opportunities. And I pray that you would help me, and I pray that you would help your people. Help us to take seriously the way we live, to understand we are light, children of light. Empower your people and give them the zeal to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.